Your body is yours at the end of the day. And don't let the hateful try and take it away. We want to be free, yeah, we go our own way. And our body was made.
The following program contains adult language and mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
One more time.
Hey everybody, welcome to the One Song Each podcast, where each member of the Roll Spine crew selects a song that reminds them of some random bullshit, and we talk about it.
Well, I'm trying to get away from the personal anecdotal stuff, because I don't want to be like the poor bitch Frank podcast. So I actually made a point of...
Well, I gotta get rid of all mine now.
Well, no, because you haven't really done anecdotal stuff as much.
All the anecdotal stuff I come up with are gonna just be about you.
Yeah, so the point is, I'm trying to get away from that on my like my next two selections.
You
want to
run? Yeah, because some of the podcasters took a shot at how...
No, that was a good one. That was a good... Michael Bailey.
Michael Bailey.
Because what it was is Rob was talking about buying comics, and then he was like... And I've joked that Rob was Richie Rich because he could buy a ton of comic books and I couldn't, and other people kind of picked up on it as well. Michael Bailey was like, just because Frank was raised in the house from Charlie the Chocolate Factory.
Because didn't you say something that he was like, yeah, I kind of debated leaving that in, and I saw that and I was like, wait, was this a Frank is poor joke?
In Last of Glorious.
Oh my god, dude, that is fun.
Yeah. That was a great line.
I was actually upset I didn't come up with it. Dude, we're going to Photoshop that shit. Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah, sick burn. Good,
so
glorious.
Then, so then all your family members shared one bed, head to feet?
There's elements of that, yeah. Not going to lie.
There's a motherfucker with this element of it. Yeah. Well, let me pick one that's not anecdotal.
So, yeah, so that's just, I'm trying. No. You can do it. I've done it too often. Like, everything I've picked so far has been too much personal stuff. So I'm trying to, like, do something where I'm actually talking about the songs. Obviously, the songs should and often will have an impact on your life or reference elements of your life. I just don't want that to feel like it's a requisite.
Mac, we go first.
Illegal machine.
Okay, that was Tenacious D, Explosivo, off of their, was it something?
Eponymous album, if I recall, yeah.
I chose this song, one, because that's a fantastic fucking song. Two, because that was the first time, this was 2002, mm-hmm. So how long ago was 2002?
14 years.
14 years ago, April 17th, 2002, I saw Tenacious D was coming to town that night, and I was trying to find somebody to go with. You couldn't go. I don't even know if I ever even got a hold of you.
I think I actually bowed out of that. I couldn't afford it, or I just wasn't up for some reason.
Yeah, because he was up at the shop.
So I got a hold of... I think you were like, hey, get a hold of Mr. Fix-It. I was like, all right, cool. So I got a hold of Mr. Fix-It, and that was the first... Because I didn't have a car. Because I was broke. Just as broke as this fucking broke.
Probably more.
As Charlie here.
Probably more so. Yeah. Charlie over here. I had the fucking house where everybody living in one mattress. So Mr. Fix-It had a car.
A truck, thank you very much.
A truck with a Lady Death sticker on the back. And
no, a green Martian riding a rocket.
It was one of those, is it a coupe?
Yeah, it was a coupe.
Okay.
So anyway, a coupe?
Yeah.
Artist.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about the type of truck.
No.
Standard cab. Right.
Yeah.
That's the truck where your hood came off and flew at you, right?
Yeah.
Or flew up at you? Yeah.
We have a lot of stories. Both. You were like, hell yes, I'll go see Tenacious D with you. So Fix-It and I go to see Tenacious D. This was at formerly, it's right now it's called Remington Music Center.
It was
before that, it was Bayou Center. And before that, it was Verizon Wireless Center for a long time. So we went to the Verizon Wireless Theater 2002, way before when paraphernalia were banned from inside of concerts. Like now you just see vape smoke, but back then it was like as soon as the lights went down, it was like, oh my God, like you could swim through the clouds.
Yeah,
right.
Fucking smoke.
Did we get something to eat?
No. So I remember this thing.
Hold on, man.
The two little brothers?
Yes. Okay, so there were two, and they were like twin brothers standing in front of us. They had these enormous afros. They were white kids. Right?
Yeah, they're white kids.
With these huge curly afros in front of us. And at first we just thought it was weird. About 15 minutes into the show, we thought it was extremely hilarious. I just remember this. It took Tenacious D forever to get on stage.
Yeah.
Before, like, it was forever. And we were just standing around. Did they have an opening act?
No.
They might have had some shitty opening act.
I don't remember.
It's really hard to remember. I remember. Really, really waited forever. And then once they actually started, we're all going nuts. And the show was phenomenal. Like, they blew the doors off this place. And they played skits. So this was back before YouTube. Wasn't for another 4 years or so after that. Not a lot of people had access, especially our broadcasters, to the HBO show. So they played video from their skits, like the Rockstar Sperm for Sale and stuff like that.
Butt Baby Jesus.
And the other one where he's given a handjob or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we had never seen that shit before. And it like blew our minds. We bought awesome merch.
Wow.
I bought a KGJD, which is Kyle Gass and Jack Black, but it's in the AC/DC logo, the lightning bolt in the middle, a beanie. In Houston, the hell did I buy a beanie for in Houston, Texas, that I still have? I bought a shirt, but I don't know where the shirt is.
And I was dating Pussycat at the time, and for her, I bought her the official Tenacious D cum rag.
Which is like, it's a towel with like a
little unicorn.
A unicorn and a rainbow on it. It says Tenacious D.
And it had a little hook so you could hook it up there, and it said on there, the official Tenacious D cum rag.
Hilarious, dude. So then we got super duper contact high watching this. Like,
fucking oblivion, dude.
We don't partake
in that type of stuff.
So we have jobs where you can be drug tested. I don't know. It was 2002. Actually, no, at the time.
You, I think, were still in school at that point.
Yeah, you were in school.
Anyway, super duper contact high. Crazy. Because that delay was so long that people were already smoking then.
Yeah.
And then that whole show was weed based. So it was, and I went to a lot of concerts after that, and that's still by far the most marijuana smoke I smelled in the arena. It was ridiculous.
Dude, it looked like a Cheech and Chong concert. It was just this cloud above everyone.
People were throwing weed up on stage to Jack Black because he was making oregano jokes. Like, who's throwing this oregano up here and throwing oregano back out into the... And anyway, so we watched the show. The show was fantastic. Hilarious for all sorts of reasons, apparently. And then we drive back and... We were like joking. I think we were trying to convince ourselves we weren't that.
Yeah. Well, I knew something was wrong because I was like, I feel really weird. And he kept laughing. I remember
we were both freaking dying laughing at everything. And then we stopped.
Well, no, we had to gas up. And I said, I got to gas up real quick. I remember because it was a stop and go. We stopped to gas up. And you go, I'm going to get some chips. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get some chips too. And we go and buy like bags and bags. Like, just multiple bags of all kinds of chips.
He had like Funyuns. I think I was getting like 3D Doritos because that was a thing back then. It was freaking crazy. So that was Mac and Figs, its first night out. We became true bros at it.
And
Tenacious D has never come back to Houston, ever. They've never come back. I want to say they've probably been to Dallas maybe one more time because you have to make an extra long dip to get down to Houston, whereas they can kind of skirt through Dallas. I want to say they may have been to Dallas like one other time, but they've never come back to Houston ever again, and they're probably never going to tour again. Maybe they will once they get super broke or whatever, but... Yeah, anytime I tell people I was at that show, they get super pissed off because they remember, they kind of blew up. They weren't quite as blown up yet when the show came to town. They did really kind of explode after that. That first album got pretty popular with Wonder Boy and all that stuff.
Well, I just want to add my little part to this one. So the only reason I went to the show was because you had given me a CD of Tenacious D.
And I'll point out, too, that I got it from Buzz, who was one of our regular customers and who I often swapped music with. He's the one who gave me a copy of the D, and I played it in the shop, and that's sort of what started getting folks into it.
You told me about it, and you're like, here, I'll get you a copy.
Well, I'll remember now, I was a carny at this time because one of my buddies has never let me forget that I did not invite him to that show, too. Because we listened to it there. After everybody left, because you play carnival music, we would pop Tenacious D in and play it through the whole place's sound system. So yeah, that's where I was at the time. Well, 2002. I know where I was in 2002.
The only reason I remember that CD so well is you had loaned it to, or you gave me a copy. I was listening to it, and Pussycat had bought me the Grand Theft Auto 3, the first 3D one that came out. And I was so addicted to that game that literally the CD would play as I played the game. So you know how I multitask whenever I'm doing shit. And I would play that game for hours, and that CD would just loop for hours. And so whenever he wanted to go, I was like, oh, I'm down. Like, I've heard that CD so many times, I want to see it live. So yeah, that's my little.
I definitely have always regretted not going to that show too, but I didn't have the money. And I wasn't as into the D as you guys were. And I love the D. I'm not actually that huge of a fan of Explosivo. Yeah. I'm exclusive. Like, I made a mix Tenacious D, Soul Coughing, Eve 6, and I left Explosivo off of that mix.
But okay, so the reason I chose Explosivo is because during the show, when he is turning into the Angel Crusher, he threw his guitar on the ground, mimicked jerking off into it, and then as he mime ejaculated, he morphed into the ejaculant and like dove down onto the guitar and then started like flapping around stage like this winged animal, because I'd seen him do it again whenever I've looked at live performances. He did it. I mean, that was his thing. But I remember like watching him do that on stage after only hearing it basically on CD, and see him do it was freaking insane. This was before Jack Black had really blown up either. He was still
He was the guy from High Fidelity.
Right. He was C-list guy who would make I remember that guy from that.
Yeah, he's the loud guy. He's the guy that came out in the Bruce Willis movie as the guy who sold him the weapon.
Oh, the Jackal.
The Jackal. Stuff like that. So I knew who
God, you guys, you and your brother made me watch that fucking movie.
So this was pre-School of Rock Jack Black, or when he...
Oh, years before School of Rock.
But that was when he got really, really, really popular. So this was... He was almost known more for his like talk show appearances. You know, he was, oh, I love when Jack Black, he's hilarious. He's that guy from that movie. But that really now he's like literally like he became a lead actor for a while there. Yeah, but that was freaking crazy. It was still one of the best concerts I've ever been to. Just we didn't know what to expect, and we saw tons of stuff like you had no, like the skits and stuff were absolute
hilarious. Yeah, the snat at one time was that show boring.
No,
it was just boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
Well, aside from waiting forever for them to come out on stage, which, like again, I remember this 14 years later how long it took for them to get out on stage, which means it's probably way less than the beginning was. Anyway, that's my song for my one song each.
By the way, remember how long it took to download the animated video for Fucker Softly or Gently?
Yeah.
And I think you actually downloaded it off of one of the services, and you had a copy of that we were able to watch.
Yeah.
That you saved to your computer so that we could watch it repeatedly.
So
great cartoon,
the
too.
Dark Ages.
Because that was like a John Kricfalusi, wasn't it?
I don't know what it was, but it's the Dark Ages.
The Ren and Stimpy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Dark Ages. We couldn't just go online and just stream it real quick.
Right. There wasn't a YouTube or anything.
It did not exist. This was not possible. We had to go through dark channels. The best place to come, the
best station. You're listening to One Song Each. Keith G. Baker notes, in which you find out that Tom Petty invented steampunk. Ryan Daly writes, hilarious episode, but funniest bit was Fix-It hypothetically seeing Frank dance in junior high. That's that fucker that dances. He thinks this is like Grease for real.
This is Sha-na-na. Ever get beat up by 12 tough guys in a dog alley? Take our word for it. Victims don't feel real good. Don't make yourself a victim to hard drugs. If you do, we'll break all your arms and all your legs.
Party Nymphs. We're bringing you live an exclusive interview with two of the sensational Nymph sisters, stars of the exciting new film, Naughty Nymphs.
It was all Elizabeth's fault. She wouldn't fall in love.
She's not normal like us.
So we mixed up a few potency pills to help her get it on.
Potency pills?
Uh-huh. We discovered a secret formula that really works.
Does it ever.
Did it work for Elizabeth? But did she become a naughty nymph too?
Oh, she thought they were sleeping pills and gave them to her patients at the clinic.
You can't blame us for the riot.
Riot?
Well, you can imagine what happens when a bunch of old men suddenly feel like young roosters.
You mean actually?
And then there was the nudist colony.
And the ambassador.
Who?
His Excellency was embarrassed.
And Harry?
The girls. Naughty nymphs. Oh, well, our time is up. You'll have to see the movie to discover the exciting secrets of those naughty nymphs. Naughty nymphs. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
There are hamburgers, and then there are hamburgers, like the kind you get at Whataburger. Fresh as it can be, it's And more than a hamburger, it's a hamburger. And at Whataburger, well, you never pay extra for lettuce and tomato. That's why hamburgers go by lots of names. But there's only one way to describe a hamburger. And that's a Whataburger.
Your music.
The 1-8 Sage, Allie Bats, Dr. Ange, Batted Shapirak, A Beardo Talks Film, Bone Dragon Comics, Rudy's Kitchen, Cash Flag, John De Niro, Chris Sheehan, Comic Book Vault, David Golden Studios, Dr. Gene Nerdologist, Doug Zawisha, Dragons, Sexy Robots, and Adventures Podcast, FK Jason, Gore Tolton, Grateful Dalek, Ice in the Face, Jake and Tom Cocker Podcast, Joe Crawford, Justice First Dawn, Keith G. Baker, Kevin Dodgy, Bongbox Crusade, MGJ Productions, The Namor Submariner Podcast, Odd Dad Out Podcast, Paladin of the Green, Pod Dylan, Pow Science, Randy Caldwell, Resurrections, Anna Morlock and Thanos Podcast, Ryan Daly, Sean Michael Ortega, Siskoid, Terrence Castanguay, Trekker Talk Podcast, Texas Chainsaw Massacre Romero, Warehouse 9, When It Was Cool.
Nobody does it better.
Okay. Do you want me to go next? Or?
If you like, yeah.
Okay, so since we're going to... I had thought about this song because me and Frank were playing, listening to some music earlier yesterday. There was a bunch of songs, and I was telling Frank all these stories I remembered. This song here has a special memory for me.
The King's Lola. Oh, shit. I'm going to have a theme to go with this then.
Yeah.
I know what mine's going to be now.
My song is Lola by the Kinks, and I have a special memory of that song. We've never given our ages away, so I'll only give this.
It's an older song, so yeah, it predates you.
And of course, my mom had introduced me to the Kinks, and so I knew their music. I knew their music because my mom would listen to the music a lot. And I was a little bit of a handful for my parents, so they thought it'd be smart to send me off to my uncle to live in California, not realizing he's the true hellraiser in our family, the craziest uncle, my favorite uncle. And so they sent me to go hang out with the old man, and my uncle was the kind of guy that you're a man, do what you gotta do. And it was that simple, like, do whatever you gotta do. And we were doing some work, electrical work, and we had to go to Mexico. So my uncle says, you, me, and then he had two partners. They were doing electrical work. We gotta rewire this home. I said, okay. He says, you're gonna be the assistant. All right. So we go to Tijuana, Mexico. So we do the work. It was like a hotel and stuff. We're doing all this electrical work with these other electricians. We get done, and that night, my uncles and them decide, we're gonna go to a strip bar. Okay, so a strip bar. Tijuana at that time, which was a long, long time ago, was fucking insane. The stories I tell people, I'm like, I freaked out when we were there. Basically, they would just look at my ID and like, yeah, you look good enough to come in. So we would go into the club.
And it's worth noting too that Mr. Fixit is not a small man. He's a tall, broad dude.
So we go to the strip bar, dark, skank. Like, I think of, every time I think of it, I always think of the bar from Dusk Till Dawn.
Twister, we're slashing pussy in half. Give us an offer on our best selection of pussy. This is a pussy blowout. All right, we got white pussy, black pussy, Spanish pussy, yellow pussy. We got hot pussy, cold pussy. We got wet pussy. We got smelly pussy. We got hairy pussy, bloody pussy. We got snapping pussy. We got silk pussy, velvet pussy, nalga high pussy. We even got horse pussy, dog pussy. Chicken pussy, come on, you want pussy? Come on in, pussy lovers. If we don't got it, you don't want it.
The titty twister.
Titty twister. Very titty twister-like. and so we're sitting there, and the women are all along the wall. And you just pick, and they'll sit on your lap. And so they're playing music, and there's women stripping. But it's completely new stripping. Or, well, they start clothed and then they work their way down. Like, I remember it was two Hispanic women go up on stage, they start dancing, and they start playing this song. And I knew the lyrics of the song. Everyone's drunk. My uncle and all his buddies are wasted. And I'm like, this song's about a transvestite. Like, are we in the right kind of bar? Like, I'm freaking out because this is the first strip bar I've ever been to. It's super dangerous. Like, I felt not entirely safe because I knew we were in Mexico, so shit could go sideways real fast. And it's not like I can call mom and dad to come pick me up. So I was a little nervous. But I just remember the song playing, and the place was just, I mean, dude, it was insane. Smoke, beer everywhere. People are doing things with objects. I mean, it's the titty twister. And for some reason, every time, I mean, there's several songs I remember because every club you went to, they would play American rock. But I don't think they knew what it was. They're just throwing rock music up there just for the girls to dance. They were dancing like some really weird shit. So we were there the whole night. I just remember one of the prostitutes trying to proposition me. I'm freaking out. I'm like, no, I'm okay. My uncles and them are thinking it's hilarious. And then we go, the club has another part where you can dance with the strippers. Not like strip them, but just dance. And you pay $1. And I remember we're sitting, and I told my uncle, this is really weird. We're sitting at the bar, and it's lit. You can see the bar, you can see us, but you can't see the middle of the dance floor. And my uncle's buddies are going to dance with women. I'm like, why do they keep going over there? Why do they keep going over there? And I'm a kid, so I'm kind of really curious, but I'm curious, but I'm freaked out. And I just remember my uncle saying to me, give the girl $5 and you can dance for a song, and whatever happens on the dance floor happens on the dance floor. And I was like, what? I mean, dude, it was just
a true coming of age moment.
Yeah, it was. Tijuana was something different.
This sounds like the worst after school special I've ever heard in my entire life.
I don't know. I think a lot of people could have benefited from that particular type of experience.
Or
at that
it
age.
Sounds like the best after school special I've ever heard in my entire life.
It was cool because I got to experience, but it was scary because now as I'm older, I mean, something could have happened.
When you describe your uncle, I actually picture Cheech Marin.
Attention, pussy shoppers, take advantage of our pending pussy sale. If you buy one piece of pussy at the regular price, you will get another piece of pussy of equal or lesser value for only a penny. Try and be pussy for a penny. If you can find cheaper pussy anywhere, fuck it.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost.
Interesting.
And I always remember.
I mean that in the most positive way.
But I grew up a lot there. Yeah, it was
crazy.
He
sounds like a sweet old man.
When I first got there, I remember he told me, you can't stay in the house while I'm at work. Because I didn't work for him right away. And I said, what am I supposed to do? He gave me bus fare. And he told me, just take a bus and do a transfer. Take a bus. And I took buses all over. We were in Pasadena, California, down to Los Angeles, to East LA, and I ended up getting stuck around South Central Watts area, and I didn't know anything. I just remember seeing the burned out buildings, and I'm like, fuck, I don't know where to go. So I go to a gas station, and I had my uncle's phone. This is before pagers, before cell phones. I go, I call my uncle's house. My uncle's there. He's like, where you at? I'll come pick you up. And I tell him the location. He says, wherever you're at, stay inside. I said, okay. So I'm in the gas station, and I just remember sitting there for a long time. He comes rolling up. He tells me where I was, how lucky I am nothing happened. I never felt in danger, but that's just the way my uncle was. He's like, you know, go out and have adventures, just the way he always was. I mean, this is the same man who took me to Vegas. That same summer I stayed with him, we went to Vegas. I gambled in Vegas. We went to Laughlin.
Hey, don't blow all your one song each story. You got a little cachet there.
Yeah, but this was a great summer.
Or is this foreshadowing?
It was a great summer. I did a lot of shit that summer.
I've never heard that song before in my life.
You never heard Lola?
No.
Really?
I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
Catchy tune.
Yes, it is. Early 70s, I recall.
I don't know where I would run into Kinks music. Like, I just don't think I would come across the shit unless it's...
What wasn't My Sharona Kinks?
I think so.
Yeah, you know My Sharona.
Yeah, I know My Sharona because it was a commercial song.
And Reality Bites, I think you saw, right?
Reality Bites.
Yeah.
So you never had Lola?
You're in the H.
Yeah. Yeah, so you never saw Lola?
I don't think I've ever.
It's a good song. But I just remember thinking.
It's about transvestite.
Yeah. Didn't you hear the song?
I mean, I don't know. I bet a lot of people have heard the song and not really.
What do you want to bring up the lyrics right quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I don't have the internet. So.
I take your word.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Okay.
What about you, Frankosaurus Rex?
Okay, well, oddly enough, I have a thematically appropriate song. But and like I said, I'm not going to go into so much personal elements this time because I thought maybe too much oversharing and I didn't want it to be what the show is about.
Well, this episode definitely got a lot of sharing.
There's a lot of sharing.
This isn't the one for you to
pull. Right. Well, no. So anyhow, 1992, on the radio is a song, Blood Makes Noise by Suzanne Vega, and I'm digging that song. And then turn around twice. My father has bought the album 99.9 Fahrenheit Degrees. I make a copy of old cassette, or he gives me a copy. I can't remember what exactly happened, but I absolutely fall in love with this album. It's still one of my favorite albums of all time. I've got the album art as a poster on the wall of my little den area, and I've had that poster for over a decade now.
Rick's office, as we call it, the prison pit.
Susan Vega, I love her. I think she's an extraordinary singer-songwriter. Well, she doesn't actually read music. She like sees color and shapes, and that's how she makes the audio stuff.
Yeah, I think the thing is that she's not a classically trained pianist.
She's not a pianist. She plays guitar. I think you're thinking of Tori Amos. I'm talking about Suzanne Vega.
Tori Amos, yeah. My bad. Yeah. She also sees color and bullshit.
Okay, both redheads. Yeah. So I love...
Just another broad on the damn... Frank mixtape of his life.
So like I said, Suzanne Vega, still love her as a singer-songwriter. She really emphasizes being a lyricist, though. And 99.9 Fahrenheit Degrees was an experimental album. She had been doing more folk-type material. But in that album, she met a producer named Mitchell Froom, who pushed toward a more experimental industrial sound, which worked really well with her much softer vocals, the contrast of the two. And of course, industrial was getting pretty big in that time period, around 92.
Yep.
And so I'm really into this album. I love it to pieces. I listen to it over and over again. But there was one song in particular that I thought helped to showcase what a great songwriter she was. And that song was called As Girls Go. Dove into those phones over the course of that video. Okay, so here's the interesting thing. The Kinks' Lola came out in 1970, and the song was banned in, I think it was Australia and the UK. There was also a big backlash because of its dealing with a scenario where a young man is having a romantic encounter with either a transvestite or a transgendered person. And also they referenced Coca-Cola in the song, so that was a big issue too. So a lot of people had major issues with this Kinks song. I know when I was growing up, it was one of those songs where it's like kind of a song you would snicker at because like, haha, the guy doesn't know it's a trans person, right? And in that respect, it kind of resembled Dude Looks Like a Lady by Aerosmith too, which was another big hit in the late 80s. Years after the Kinks song comes out, this song comes out. And it's dealing much more frankly, much more overtly with issues of transgendered persons, right? And the way she's framing it, I mean, she's you know, did you ever keep the date with the steel side of the knife? Doesn't matter to me which side of the line you happen to be at any given time, blah, blah, blah. So as presented in the song, she's a person with some intellectual curiosity who's having a conversation with a trans person. In 92, is like, wow, that's really ahead of the curve. And what smart lyricism and just the fact that she's willing to tackle this subject. Yeah, it's so brave and so progressive. And what's interesting is, you know, again, this is 22 years after the Kinks. And then we're now like 24 years away from when this song was released, right? And what's funny is as we've progressed as a society, you know, you deal more with trans people in life now than you might have in the past. You know, I worked alongside trans people. I was friendly with quite a few of them.
Nice.
So I kind of learned the do's and the don'ts. There's some it's sort of like you had that movie not too long ago called Dear White People, where they're saying, you know, hey, don't ask us about our weaves, don't touch our hair, why do you want to touch my hair, that kind of stuff, where it's like, why are you transgressing these boundaries, what should be natural boundaries? You're treating me like I'm somewhat less than you, that I should be something to be touched and pet and shit. And so the same thing is true with trans people. We've learned, you know, you don't bring that shit up. It's none of your business whether they have been cut or haven't been cut. What's important is, what is their identity? Who do they see themselves as being? Respecting, you know, in the same way you would respect somebody of their religion. If somebody decides they're going to be a Christian or they're going to be a Buddhist, you're like, well, have you done all the steps to be a Buddhist? You know, it's like, you don't ask that kind of shit. In polite society, you know, you don't do that. You maybe do that with a close friend where you understand where the boundaries are. But to some random person you might meet at a club, or you're like a rock star who's talking to somebody who's trans, you wouldn't do that kind of stuff. So now when I listen to As Girls Go, what was like this really cool advanced song, I now realize is really out of bounds, really inappropriate. I would be surprised if she continues to play this song in concerts, because I could see where that would be kind of hurtful and invasive and inappropriate. And then you look back at the Kinks song, it's really more like, no, it's just innocent. He doesn't really know.
Yeah.
And the attraction is there. He's attracted to this woman that he's meeting in Soho. And, you know, he doesn't really know, or he kind of knows, but he's kind of like not really concerned about it. And so now it flips. That's more like where we are now, where it's like, if you're an advanced enough person, it doesn't matter to you. If you see this person and you're attracted to this person, then it doesn't matter whether they were born, what they were born as, you know. If you're cool with it, if you're advanced enough to where that's not an issue for you, just do your thing and it doesn't have to matter anymore. And now this is a song where you're like, geez, kind of tacky, Suzanne Vega. So it's just interesting how times can twist and turn on you, and how you perceive something at one point in your life and at one point in the culture can totally flip and do a 180 on you.
Well, and that's what that's why I was looking on my phone. I was trying to figure out, like, is this song pro transgender, or is this song against transgender? The song, the lyrics repeated a little bit, I was like, what the hell is she trying to say?
Yeah, because there's all these assumptions about, oh, what was wrong? What went wrong? What dark thing happened to turn you trans? Like, maybe they're just born biologically the wrong gender, which is something we understand a lot better now than we did in 1992. It's very judgmental. It's very intrusive. It makes a lot of unwise assumptions. It's a very problematic song at this point in time.
Well, I think the main hook is condescending.
Mm-hmm.
As girls go, you know, yeah. You make a pretty good girls go, or a really good girls go. You know what I mean?
Very condescending.
Super condescending. That's why I was like, where is Dylan Frank going this year?
Yeah.
I wasn't like reading too far into it that it's messed up.
Well, see, my story is just, I just thought it was odd they were playing that in a strip bar.
Oh yeah. Well, and I'm not judging that at all.
I wasn't like trying to make
again. And I'll tell you too. Yeah. Having been friends with trans people, you know, there's a lot of times where somebody thinks that there are things there that are not there. Yeah. Or things were there that they're not expecting to be out there. And sometimes you have a very violent reaction to that. I mean, I think that they're still dealing with the politics of how much do you tell, how much are you allowed to assume about this other person and what their boundaries are and what they're willing to allow for. It's all still so precarious. It's all so tenuous. We're all still kind of figuring out how to relate to one another and what we're comfortable with. And a lot of it comes down to societally, we just have to get past the gender stuff. Because obviously there are beautiful trans people out there, and there's no reason why a trans person that appears to be a woman is a beautiful person, why they should have to like put a surgeon's warning label on their outfit.
I just remember the girls dancing, no, and I was thinking, okay, they're playing Lola, that's weird. So I was kind of like, are we in the right club? And then the girl flashed, and I'm like, oh yeah, we're in the right club. So okay, but it was just weird that they would play. I mean, the strippers were dancing to, God, what is that damn song? I've Got the Power. They were just throwing anything up there that was fast beat.
Well, I mean, you're talking about, too, that you got folks who don't even speak that language.
Yeah,
so true, how are you supposed to catch the subtleties of a song that at that point would have also been decades old?
True.
Because you're talking about, you were hearing Lola at a strip club probably somewhat contemporaneous to when Suzanne Vega was putting out her song.
One Song Each. Thank you for listening.
One Song Each is a Rolled Spine podcast. This is a not-for-profit fan production. Any copyrighted materials used is believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended. Please leave your comments and criticisms on our website. We especially encourage participation on this show. Feel free to call in and leave a request. Maybe you'll even get featured on the show. We thank you for your rapt attention.